Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you're dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our ship store at www.greatloop.org, ship store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Everyone, as Beth said, this is the America's Great Loop Cruisers Weekly Blog Radio. We have with us today Beth, who's doing our marketing, and we have Steve, who is the technical person, I guess we call him, and myself, and I'm the director of AGLCA. For those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes part of North America and part of, well, North America and the United States and Canada. Our association was formed in 1999 to formalize a group of people who had a sense of adventure and curiosity about the Great Loop. Our primary purpose is to disseminate information and to put all of our loopers in touch with each other. Our webpage is www.greatloop.org. If you're not a member, go ahead and visit. There's lots of free stuff, and we'd love for you to become a member if you aren't one. Okay, it's that time of year when our annual loopers are approaching or are in the Canadian waterways. We thought it might be a good idea to learn more about the beautiful Georgian Bay. I'm sure you've all heard about it but may not know its details. Our guest this week is the harbor host for that area, John Morrison. And John will talk about two different routes that you can take to cruise the bay. John, thank you for being with us today, and go ahead and start your discussion.
Thanks, Janice, and thanks for having me on. This Georgian Bay is one of the most beautiful parts of the loop, and I know that everybody that I've talked to that has done it has really appreciated its beauty. Most people continue up the east coast of Georgian Bay, commonly referred to as the 30,000 Islands, which is a beautiful trip. It's a safe, well-marked trip as long as you stay on your charts. But there is a second way to go up Georgian Bay, and that's using the west coast, which is much more open. It's more for those who are looking to really have extended cruises at maybe a little higher speeds, and it includes some beautiful ports as well. So I'd like to share information on both routes with you today, and maybe if it's all right, we can start with the east coast.
That'd be great, John. Thank you.
Okay, as you're leaving the last lock of the Trent Severn waterways at Port Severn, loopers generally come out to the cardinal marker and turn right to go back into Honey Harbor. And they're actually missing some of the neatest ports on the bay, in the southern end of the bay, in Midland and Penetang. So if they come out to that cardinal marker, instead of turning back east into Honey Harbor, if they turn west and go over to Midland, there's great facilities in Midland. The Midland Town Dock is an excellent facility, and so is Bayport Marina, which are both excellent jump-off points to the bay. From there, you'd go up to re-enter the 30,000 Islands. You go on top of an island called Bosway Island and into the well-marked channel. And from there, all the way up to Killarney, with two exceptions, the entire route is protected. In other words, it meanders through, again, they refer to it as the 30,000 Islands. I'm not sure anybody's ever counted them. But it's a well-marked small craft route up to Killarney with two open spaces, one at O'Donnell Point and then one as you cross the top end of Georgian Bay.
When you say open, open are they? I mean, is it something that you need to really be prepared for, or is it fairly safe cruising?
Well, it's fairly safe cruising. At O'Donnell Point, you've got about 3 miles where it's open to anything coming from the west of Georgian Bay. It's wide open. And it can pound a bit, but it's not that hard. I mean, it's just a matter of following a straight line. And then once you get up to the upper end, there's an open part as well, which you'd really have to get into any kind of trouble. You'd really have to have some strong winds coming from the south, and most people don't travel in that condition because it generally means rain. But anything else, you're so far up north that nothing has an opportunity to build. But the beauty, of course, is the scenery and some of the ports along the way.
Great. Steve, you've been in the Georgian Bay, haven't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know which route you took?
The eastern one.
The east? Same.
The small boat channel.
Uh-huh.
There are some great stops in there. Don't ask me why, but the place that always stuck in my mind after doing that was Spanish.
Spanish is up in
the
North Channel, Steve.
Is that up in the North Channel?
Yeah, Spanish is up in the North Channel. It's a neat little town. The area I'm talking about is before you get to there. And if you remember when you were heading up, you probably headed, if you're on the East Coast, there's hundreds and hundreds of anchorages and neat little coves and neat little places to drop a hook. There's also some places to stop. There's a very famous place called Henry's Fish, which is on Frying Pan Island. You go right through Perry Sound, which has a great town dock facility and all the amenities that you could need in Perry Sound. As you continue farther north, there's Bing Inlet. But the beauty that most people find is in these anchorages. Now, the one thing you have to be careful about on the east side is there's a lot of rocks. So you have to know that you're on your chart. If you are on your chart, you are totally safe. If you're not sure that you're on your chart, go back to the last marker that you hit and start over. Don't guess, because there are some treacherous areas up there. I used to have three rules for traveling that side of Georgian Bay. The first was never follow another boater because you're going to hit the rock he hits. The second is if you think you're right and the chart's wrong, you're wrong and the chart's right. And my third rule was always seagulls don't walk on water. If there looks like a seagull standing on water, there's a rock underneath them.
I like your rules.
When I was up there, I was crowing for a guy who had bought used charts, and they were flat out wrong. He had some note on it that some local notice to Mariner said the channel moved, and that was the best he could do on dealing with it.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Really? Yeah. And again, it's you need up-to-date charts. You need up-to-date charts, which you can purchase right at the lock at 45 before you enter the bay. If you're doing the east side, it's a five strip charts to go up there, and lining them up is the most important thing, especially in the first two of them, sheet number one and sheet number two, to get them lined up so you're sure of where you're going.
Yeah. And I have that same rule about don't go where the birds are walking down here.
That's right. But you can be in some very deep waters on that eastern route and think that you're very safe, and 100 yards away there could be a submerged island. So I can't emphasize enough. But I don't want to scare anybody. Hundreds of boats every year do it, and do it quite successfully with no trouble. It's generally the people who get into trouble are the ones that think they're going to take a shortcut, or they think, oh, no, this can't be right, so they proceed anyway. But the beauty of that site, I mean, it's all part of the Canadian Shield. It's, you know, you, Steve, you've seen the granite rock and the trees and the evergreen trees, all particularly growing to the east because of those predominantly west winds. And it's just spectacular all the way up.
Yeah. I'll probably have some of them wrong, but the anchorages that we stayed in were wonderful.
Yes, yes. In the southern part, there's anchorages like Little Go Home Bay and Hockey Stick Bay and Echo Bay. And as you get farther north, you can go down into some of the, especially at the opening of the French River. You can go up the French River a little bit and get some great anchorages. And that's the big attraction of that side for those who really like to drop a hook.
Yep.
For those who have had their fill of canal boating for a while, and there are those wee cruisers who just have to open it up every once in a while. And then the route I always take is much preferred to me is the West Coast.
John, just a quick question. How long should you allow to do the East Coast passage and really enjoy it?
To really enjoy it, I'd allow myself a week, and that would include one or two rain days.
Okay, that's always good to include rain days.
Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
No. I always just think that whatever is happening up in Georgia Bay generally happens at 3 or 4 days at a time. So if you've got great weather, it's going to be happening for 3 or 4 days. And if the wind's blowing up, it could be 2 or 3 days if you can sock in somewhere. The Environment Canada weather forecasts are excellent. They're generally, most of the time, they're right on. And just listen to your weather and don't put yourself under a time gun.
The I seem to remember that the way Weather Canada did the broadcast, they were codes.
May 4 code. Yeah, that could be confusing. I've actually found a website, if I'm allowed to say it on air, which I've been tracking it now for 2 months. It's called windfinder.com. Excuse me. And if you go on to windfinder.com and dig down to, you'll see a map of North America, and you go dig down to what your area you're cruising in and click on forecast. It gives you a 10-day, hour-by-hour forecast of what's going to happen.
And they're usually right on?
They've been almost bang on for the last 2 months I've been tracking them.
Fantastic. And that was windfinder.com?
That's right, Janice, yes.
Okay, thank you. I think before we go on to the West Coast, if we could just break for a minute, we do have a short commercial from one of our sponsors. So give us a minute, and then we'll ask John to pick up with the West Coast route.
Janice, before we do that, I wanted to ask John about the small boat channel.
Sure.
What's the biggest boat you can run through there in terms of length and draft?
The draft is about 8 feet at its least. The length of boat, I certainly wouldn't want to be on anything longer than 80 feet. You can only get 100 feet over the chute to get into the Georgian Bay to begin with, but I wouldn't want – there's one particular turn up a little north of Bing Inlet that I wouldn't want to do it at anything more than 80 feet of boat.
Okay, because I have
– that's way bigger than most of our loopers. I don't think that's too much of a concern at all then. That's good news.
Well, I had heard folks talking about 40 feet was your limit, so you're saying 80, that's wonderful.
Steve, I'm into a 40-foot boat, and I've never even come close to being uncomfortable. So I would think 80 feet, anything over that I'd be nervous about.
Okay, that's good information.
80 feet draft, that's way, way more than we've got on most of the East Coast or the Intracoastal, so that's great.
Yeah,
okay, Beth, if you could do a commercial, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Northport Bay Boatyard is a complete marine service facility located on Grand Traverse Bay in Northport, Michigan. They feature over 85,000 square feet of heated storage, and they are offering loopers a 10% discount on heated storage, as well as a winter labor rate of $75. That's a $10 discount off their usual rate. For more information, visit www.npbby.com or call 231-386-5151. Northport Bay Boatyard is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Thank you. Okay, John, tell us about your favorite route, the West Coast.
Once again, jumping off at Midland or Penetang, you're going to go back out into the bay and you're going to look for a large landmass called Christian Island. Head west towards Christian Island. You go either in the north or the south side of Christian Island, and you've got 17 nautical miles across to a town called Thornbury. You're now on the west coast of Georgian Bay. The prevailing winds are coming from the west, so that side of the bay rarely gets choppy. There has to be a real strong east wind hammering to kick up that side of the bay. The town of Thornbury is a beautiful little town with a great town dock, and a very, very short walk into town brings you to a number of great restaurants and stores and ice cream parlors, and it's just a quaint little town. As you head north on Georgian Bay on the west coast, there's virtually nothing to hit. It's not like the east coast with all the rocks and the channels and whatever. It's all open water boating. You can hug the shore and proceed up, and as you proceed up, there's the next town is Meaford, which is another little, neat little town with some museums in it. You go up a little farther, and there's a large sound called Owen Sound with a big town down at the end of that. One of our favorite places to stop on the way up north is Lion's Head, which is a very, very small town with very few amenities, but a huge beach and beautiful, beautiful sunsets to see. And, of course, you're on your way up to one of my favorite ports in the entire loop, which is Tobermory. Inside Tobermory Harbor, there's what they call the Big Tug Harbor and the Little Tub Harbor. You stay at the Little Tub Harbor, which has the right in the middle of town, the town dock with full fueling facilities and that. And when we did the loop, my two favorite ports on the entire loop were St. Michael's and Tobermory. And I'm not saying Tobermory because it's one close to me. It's just such a fascinating little port, particularly for people watching. Now, all the way up the west coast there, as I say, there's nothing to hit. There is some stinkiness, you're only in 17 miles to get over to the west coast, and then you're safe again. The timing is, for example, from Tobermory to Meaford is only an hour's run. From Tobermory to Owen Sound is only about 2.5 hours. From Tobermory to Lion's Head is about 3 hours. I'm sorry, not from Tobermory, from Thornbury to those places. And from Thornbury to Tobermory is only about 3.5-4 hours. So it's all doable in a day, but you want to visit a couple of those ports along the way so that you're enjoying Georgian Bay and Georgian Bay boating. From Tobermory, and again, if the destination to get it around the bay is to Killarney, from Tobermory, it's a clear shot. You just come around something called Flower Pot Island, which is a very neat rock structure about 3 miles off of shore. And you come around, you almost set a course due north to find the red marker. It's a red spar buoy that marks the entrance to Killarney Channel, which is the entry to the North Channel.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I would imagine, is it mostly anchorages, but you said there are some town docks.
Well, there's very few the drawback is there's very few anchorages on the west side of Georgian Bay. It's more you're doing ports from port to port.
Uh-huh.
And when you say it was an hour from point A to point B, how fast are you running?
I run about 20 knots.
Okay.
So I would leave.
For me.
Pardon?
Your hour would be 3 hours for me.
Yes. But it's all open water sailing, Steve. I mean, there's no channels to worry about. If there's a bit of a breeze there, you can set your sails and literally it's all open water. And very few boats over there because most people do the other side. Most people, even from that are on Georgian Bay, do the other side.
Yep.
Sounds
and you
beautiful.
Have to pick your days. You have to pick your days and watch your weather. I mean, you don't want to get out into any open body of water on the Great Lakes. I know everybody who is on different lakes, they all claim that theirs is the roughest. Having done 4 out of 5 of them, I can tell you they can all kick up. But you just have to watch your weather.
Well, we essentially have the same thing on the East Coast with the sounds. If the weather's kicking up, you will get beat up in the sounds like just like you will in the Great Lakes.
That's right. Any water can kick up if you blow enough wind across it, as you know, Steve. And you just have to – and that's why I used to spend a lot of time in Midland, and I provide some advice to a lot of the people doing the crossing. I say, look, just don't put yourself under a time gun. If you get up one morning and you need to be somewhere, that's when you're going to make your mistake.
Yeah.
And you get into trouble. Many wise people have said there is no schedule with a boat, so just do what you feel safe doing. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about Georgian Bay? Or, John, is it your very favorite place to cruise?
Well, Janice, let me share this with you. When we were doing the loop, and since then, of course, I take every opportunity I see when I see the gold burgee to go up and talk to boaters or the white burgee. And I've always been amazed that when you ask them what's been their most favorite part of the route, almost without exception, people talk about Georgian Bay because it is just such a unique body of water.
Yep.
I've heard the same thing at our rendezvous. That's why I thought, you know, a lot of people would be headed there now. And, John, you're a harbor host for the whole area?
Well, I signed up for a harbor host where I live in Burlington because that's where I live. That's where I could be the most help to somebody, which is on Lake Ontario. But I'd be happy to help anybody that's in the area. I mean, it's, we boaters love to help each other because we're all in the same boat.
And you're a member, just go to the members only area and locate a harbor host. We have a new search tool now that all you have to do is put in a city and a state. So you would put in Burlington or any city that you're in Ontario. And we bring up a list of the harbor hosts with the mileage so you can see who's closest to you. And it will give their names and their phone numbers and their email addresses. So don't forget to use the harbor host tool because it's great for you. It'll really help out. John, if there's anything else, otherwise we'll close for the day, and I want to thank you very, very much. And anybody who would like to become a member, just go to www.greatloop.org and click on join. You can always call me at 877-478-5667, extension 5040. And all of our shows are archived on our webpage at blogradio.com and on iTunes. Steve, do you have any closing comments?
Nope.
Okay, that's it, John. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. And anyone who's in Georgia Bay, enjoy it. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.